Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Why I'm Afraid of Bees by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. All right, I'm going to try to get back in the swing of this. Christmas is over. It was yesterday. I'm relatively healthy. I was sick for about 2 weeks. I've been lazy, just stressed out. There's a lot going on, okay? Anyway, I actually wouldn't have got this up if it wasn't for the fact that I'm completely caught up on Giovanni's podcast, and the Carollo podcast is kaputs for a week until the start of the year, so I'm like, fuck it, I'll put up two episodes of Dune Reads Goosebumps really quick. Almost maybe 2 months ago, Jesus Christ, about 2 months ago I finished half of this episode, and then I just decided to redo it. I had some long intro involving absinthe and deodorant and self-surgery, but forget it. I'm Dune. I am drinking a vodka and fruit juice thing. It's really good. And, let's just kick this off. We are on chapter 13. "Time to go back home now, my little buzzing babies," Mr. Andretti sang. "Time to get back to work, my honeys." He started to laugh at this stupid pun. "My honeys." Herp derp. "Oh, my, wasn't that a good one?" Bzz, bzz. From the loud humming sounds in my ears, I knew I wasn't the only bee Andretti had caught in his net. In fact, out of my right eye, I could see another bee who looked just like me. That's racist. He loomed right in front of me and wiggled his antenna in my face. "Whoa, what a monster!" My wiry legs began trembling with fright. I twisted myself around and around, struggling to get away from him. I finally got myself turned the other way, but then I saw I was facing another bee, and another. Each one looked scarier than the last. They all had big, bulging eyes and creeping antennas, and they all buzzed menacingly at me. Bzzz, bzzz, motherfucking bzzz. The frightening hum grew louder and louder as Mr. Andretti caught more and more bees in the net. Suddenly, the net began to shake up and down like a violent earthquake until I couldn't even think straight. As the net shook, I lost my footing and fell into a big, squirming cluster of bees at the bottom of the net. Whoa! I stumbled over the pile of wiggling, hairy bees, and as I was staggering in terror, bees fell on top of me. A crawling, buzzing nightmare! I've never been so terrified. I screamed in my tiny voice. I tried to climb up the side of the net, but my feet were stuck under the bees' bodies. How I hated the feeling of this disgusting fuzz! In my terror, I knew I had to escape. I had to get away from here. I had to get to Miss Carmen's office and beg her to help me. Then I had the most terrifying thought of all. If I couldn't escape, if I couldn't escape, I suddenly realized I would remain a bee for the rest of my life. As Mr. Andretti carried me and the other bees across his backyard, I started buzzing and shivering with panic. How could this have happened to me? I asked myself, how could I ever been so stupid as to try to change bodies with someone else? Why wasn't I happy with the perfectly good body I already had? Mr. Andretti opened the door to the screened-in area off the side of his garage. "We're back now, my little honeybees." He cooed. The net started to shake, and I figured out that Mr. Andretti was slowly turning it inside out. One by one, he started plucking us, his prisoners, off the side of the mesh cloth and plopping each one of us back inside the hanging drawer hives. As Andretti reached for the bees, they started buzzing louder than ever. Finally, it was my turn to be plucked out of the net. When I saw the ends of Andretti's gasping fingers reaching for me, I hung back, clinging to the net. I suddenly remembered his bragging speech about how he never used gloves, because his bees trusted him. I watched his fingers stretch toward me. It would be so cool to bludge my stinger into his soft, fat fucking skin, I thought. Should I do it? Should I sting him? Should I? Chapter 14. I didn't sting him. I really didn't want to die. Sure, things look terrible for me right now, but I was still clinging to a shred of hope. Maybe, somehow, I'd find my way out of this bee prison and back into my own body. It didn't seem very likely, but I was determined to keep on trying.
In you go, my fuzzy little friend, Mr. Andretti said.
He opened up one of the removable drawer-like parts of his hive and dropped me in. I moaned. It was so dark inside the hive and so confusing. Where should I go? What should I do? The air was hot and wet. Everywhere I turned, I was surrounded by deafening, droning hum.
I can't stand it, I cried.
I could feel myself totally losing it. All around me, bees scurried around in the darkness. I stayed where I was, too frightened to move. I suddenly realized I was still very hungry. If I didn't get something to eat, I knew I would never be able to find my way out of here. I spun around and started trying to explore. Out of my left eye, I saw another bee glaring at me. I froze in my tracks. Did bees attack each other inside their hives? I wondered. I didn't remember reading anything about that in my bee book, but this bee looked really ready for a fight.
Please leave me alone, I begged in my tiny voice. Please, give me a break.
The bees glared back at me. I've never wanted to hit someone so much in my life. Like, I assume the bees would react the same way, where it's like, come on, give me a break. And he's like, well, I was just hanging out in my hive doing nothing, and then you walk in here and you're like, oh, I'd hit him. The bee glared back at me. I'd never seen such a big, angry eyes. Slowly, I stared back away from him. I started backing away from him. I squeaked nervously.
I've got to be going now. I have to get to work.
The bee bulged his eyes and waved his antennas in a threatening way. I assume he was calling me a faggot. I know I would have. I was sure he planned to sting me. I turned and flew away as fast as I could. I tried to hide. I was so frightened. I couldn't even make myself move. What if I bumped into another bee? I couldn't even stand to think about what might happen if I did. I realized I had to move. I had to find something to eat. Shaking with fear, I tiptoed out into the open. I took a nervous look around. On the far wall, I could see a large duster of bees busily building something. A honeycomb.
Yeah.
And where there was a honeycomb?
No.
I told myself, there was honey. I've always hated that sweet, sticky goo, but I knew I had to eat some right away. As quietly as I could, I crept over and joined the bee workers. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw them doing really gross things with their mouths.
Oh yeah, bee, that's so good. I enjoy that oral sex. That's the sound the dune was making. That's what I was doing, because it said really gross things with their mouths, and I was implicating that they're, you know, participating in oral sex with one another, because that's what bees do in my world, because I'm a child. I really need to get my shit together.
First, they use their legs to pick up little flakes of waxy-looking stuff off their abdomens. Then, they crammed that wax into their mouths and started working their jaws up and down like little chewing machines. Finally, they spit out the wax and used it to build part of the honeycomb they were working on.
Yuck!
It looked so disgusting, it made me sick. But what choice did I have? I had to eat some honey, even if it was covered with bee spit. I turned my head and practiced sucking my tongue up and down. Then I slurped up a big puddle of honey.
Amazing! For the first time in my life, I actually like this stuff.
Who doesn't like honey? Soon, I was sucking it down as if it were chocolate milk. After a while, I got quite good with my tongue, which was actually more of a bendable tube than a long tongue. It was really the perfect tool for guzzling honey.
Hey, apparently there's a guy named Honey. High five. All right, oral sex.
If I had made it back to the outside world, I thought, I'd be pretty good at using it for gathering nectar and pollen. Why, I might turn out to be the best worker in the whole hive. Probably not. I tried to smile, and then I almost gagged on my honey.
What was happening to me? What was I thinking? I was actually starting to feel like a bee. I had to get out of this place before it was too late. I wanted to start searching for an escape route right away, but I suddenly felt so tired, so completely worn out. Was it the honey? Or was it the strain of so much fear?
I could barely keep my eyes open. The droning hum grew louder. With a weary sigh, I sank against a clump of hairy bodies. I sank into the warm darkness of the hive, surrounded by the steady buzz, breathing the sweet aroma of the honey. I sank beside my fury... sank beside my brothers and sisters. I'm one of them now, I told myself weakly. I'm not a boy anymore. I'm a bee. A buzzing bee. Wow. Let's see how many Z's that is, R.L. Stine. I know that R.L. Stine doesn't have an editor, so he leaves this shit in by himself, which is awesome. I love that guy. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Z's in buzzing. A bee sinking into the warm, dark hive, my home. Sinking. Chapter 15, Dune Reads Goosebumps. I woke up with a start and tried to brush a bee away from my face. It took me a few moments to remember. I wasn't lying in my backyard anymore trying to keep the bees away from me. I was a bee. A bee trapped in a hive. I jumped up, took a step, and immediately came to face with another bee. I couldn't tell if he was the same one I'd seen the night before, but he looked just as angry. His big eyes were bulging with rage, and he was moving deliberately toward me. As fast as I could, I spun around and flew away. Of course, I had no idea where I was going. The hive seemed to be made up of a lot of long, dark hallways. All around me, groups of bees were building honeycombs. As they worked, they kept a steady buzz. The sound was really driving me off the wall. I began searching for a way out. I wandered in and out through the dark, sticky honeycomb. From time to time, I shot my tongue out and lapped up some honey. I was getting a little tired of the sweet stuff, but I knew I had to keep my strength if I wanted to try to break out of the hive. As I searched for a way to escape, I noticed that every single bee seemed to have an assigned job, either building honeycombs, caring for babies or queen or whatever. And the little bugs never stopped working. Like Mexicans, they were busy as bees. From morning till night, darting through the tangled darkness, I began to lose hope. There's no way out, I decided. No way out. I sank unhappily to the sticky hive floor, and as I dropped, three large bees moved in front of me. They buzzed angrily, bumping up against me with their hairy, damp bodies. It was easy to tell that these bees were angry with me. Maybe it's because I wasn't doing my job. But what was my job? How could I tell the bees that I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing? I tried to slip past them, but they moved to block my path. Three tough bees. They made me think of Barry, Marv, and Carl. I shrank back as one of them pointed his stinger at me. He was getting ready to kill me, and I didn't even know what I'd done. I screamed and whirled around. As fast as my six legs would carry me, I darted back through the narrow passage and turned another corner. Oh! I bumped hard into another bee. Luckily, he was hurried off somewhere and barely seemed to notice me. I gasped with relief. And then an idea came to me. Bing! Where was that bee going in such a hurry? Was he taking something somewhere? Could he be going to an area I hadn't searched yet? I decided to follow him and find out. I needed to learn everything I could about the hive. Maybe, just maybe, it would help me escape. I hurried after the bee. I thought I'd find him quickly, but he was already long gone. I searched in and out amongst the different honeycombs, but I couldn't find him anywhere. After a while, I gave up. Way to go, Lutz the Klutz, I scolded myself. I felt worse than ever. I shot out my tongue and slurped up a big helping of honey to keep myself going. Then I began my endless searching again. Whoa! I stopped when I reached an area that looked familiar. I was pretty sure it was the place where Andretti had dropped me off in the first place. Ugh! All at once, a large group of angry, buzzing bees crowded against me. Hey! I protested as they shoved me forward. They replied with a sharp, rising buzz. Zzz! That's what sharp, rising buzzes sound like. What were they doing? Were they attacking me? Were they all going to sting me at once? They had me surrounded. I couldn't run away. But how could I possibly fight off all these bees? I was doomed, I realized. Finished. Sighing in defeat, I closed my eyes and started to shake. I waited for them to swarm over me. I wanted to be crushed. I wanted some more.
Sorry, I waited to be crushed. I waited some more. When I opened my eyes, the angry bees had moved to the side of the hive. They weren't paying attention to me. I saw a single bee standing at the center of the hive floor. He was performing some kind of jumping, twisting hip-hop dance. Nice reference to hip-hop, R.L. Stein. As a young person, I can totally relate. How weird, I thought. The other bees were watching intently, as if they were the most interesting thing in the world. The bees didn't care about me, I told myself. They were trying to get me out of the way so this bee could do his dance. I realized I'd wasted a lot of time. I had to keep searching for an escape route. I tried to push myself away from the group of bees, but the hive floor had become too crowded to move. The bee danced faster and faster. Yeah, check me out, I'm dancing. Clap, chap, clap, trap, reference, Borderlands, derp. He moved his body towards the light. Check me out, y'all, I'm dancing.
Yeah.
All the other bees stared intently at him. What was going on? At that moment, something from my big book of bees came back to me. I remembered that bees send out scouts to find their food. Then the scouts danced to tell the other bees where to get it. If the scout was reporting on where to get food, it meant he'd just been out of the hive. That meant there had to be a way out of this place. I was so excited, I almost started dancing. But I didn't have a chance because all the bees in the hive rose up like a dark cloud. I spread my wings and flew up with them. As I followed, the bees formed a single, orderly line and shot out through a tiny hole in a far upper corner of the hive. I buzzed around until I found the end of the line, then I got ready to escape. Would I make it? The very last bee in line, I shot out of the tiny hole and into open space. For a few seconds, I watched the other bees floating away, busily hunting for nectar or pollen. I knew I looked just like them. The difference was that they would be willing to return to Andretti's hive, but I never, ever would. At least, not if I could help it. I'm out, I cried joyfully in my tiny voice. I'm out, I'm free. The typo on that was FM out, and then it was FM or PM out. Ah, fuck it, whatever. Dazzled by the sudden bright light of the outer world, I flew around and around in the beekeeping area. Then I headed for the hole I'd seen in the screen when I was still in my own body. I knew it was on the wall that faced my family's yard, but when I flew over to it, I stopped and gasped in disappointment. The hole had been patched up. Mr. Andretti had fixed it. Oh no! Oh, I just hit myself in the head way too hard. I wailed. I can't be trapped. I can't be. My heart started thumping crazily. My whole body was vibrating. I forced myself to calm down and look around. None of the other bees were in the screened-in area anymore. They'd already gone outside to collect pollen, and that meant there had to be another way out. I wasn't thinking clearly, because I was exhausted, worn out from all my flying around. I sat down on top of the hive to rest. At that instant, the door between the beekeeping area and the garage opened.
Good morning, my little bee friend, Mr. Andretti's voice boomed. What are you doing, lying around on top of the hive? Why aren't you busy inside making me some fucking honey? Are you sick? You know we can't have any sick bees around here.
As I gazed up weakly, Mr. Andretti moved closer. His dark shadow fell over me. I tried to curl up into a ball and disappear, but it was no use. His large fingers were stretching right toward me. I yelled in terror, but of course he couldn't hear me. What is he going to do to me? I asked myself. What does he do with sick bees?
That's a weird sentence.
Chapter 17.
What does he do with sick bees? I wondered again, quivering in terror. He probably throws them in the garbage, I thought, or even worse, he feeds them to his pet bird or frog. Despite my weariness, I knew I couldn't wait around to find it. I had to get out of there. You know, reading these is not easy, okay? Just as Mr. Andretti's fingers were about to fold around me, I shot up into the air and buzzed around his head. At that same instant, I saw other bees flying in through a tiny hole in the screen. It was in the corner near the ceiling. I buzzed Mr. Andretti's face one more time, then I raced towards the hole. As I tried to squeeze myself out of the exit hole, I crashed right into another bee who's flying in. He glared at me and gave me an angry buzz. Bzzz!
Frightened, I backed off and clung to the screen. I had to wait for a long line of bees to come back inside. It seemed to take forever. When I was finally sure the last bee had come in, I leaped forward and shot out of the hole. I was out in the open sky. This time I'm really free, I screamed in celebration, forgetting my weariness. And Andretti's never gonna catch this bee again. I landed on a leaf and let the morning sun warm my back and wings. It was a beautiful day. A beautiful day for finding somebody who could help me get back in my human body. Like a rocket, I shot straight up in the air and gazed around. I recognized the familiar creak of my father opening the back door of the house. Panting hard, I raced forward. My father called, "Goodbye, hon. Tell the kids I'll see them tonight," over his shoulder, and let go of the door. I darted into the house. The door slammed hard. Another near miss. I hummed with happiness. It felt so good to be back in my own house and out of that dark, sticky hive. I landed on the counter and gazed around at my old, familiar walls. Why hadn't I ever realized how nice my house was before?
You know, you never really appreciate things until you get turned into a bee.
Mew, new, new, new.
Step. Step! Step! Someone was coming into the kitchen. I flew up onto the windowsill for a better look. Chrissy! Maybe I could get her to listen to me. Chrissy! Chrissy! I buzzed. Over here, by the window, it's me, Gary! To my delight, she turned and stared in my direction. Yes! I cried excitedly. Yes, it's me! It's me!
Oh, terrific! Chrissy groaned. One of Andretti's dumb bees got in here again.
Okay, so it wasn't exactly the reaction I'd been hoping for, but she still noticed me. Maybe, I thought, if I flew right onto her shoulder and spoke into her ear, she'd be able to understand me. My heart vibrating, my entire body, I lifted myself up off the windowsill and soared toward my sister. Chrissy! I buzzed as I approached her shoulder. You have to listen to me.
Aye!
Chrissy screeched so loud I was afraid the glass in the windows would shatter. Get away from me, bee!
Prejudice. It hurts us all.
She started thrashing her hands in the air, trying to bat me away. Ow! I cried out as she slapped me. Stung with pain, I lost control and landed with a thud on the tiled countertop. I raised my eyes in time to see Chrissy grab a fly swatter from out of the broom closet.
No, Chrissy, no! I screamed, not that! You don't want to do that to your own brother!
My sister lifted up the fly swatter and thwacked it down right next to me. I could feel the rush of air from it, and I felt the entire counter shake. I screamed and quickly rolled to one side. Chrissy, I knew, was a menace with a fly swatter. She was the champion in our family. She never missed. The eyes on top of my head spun in terror. In the gray blur, I could see the shape of the fly swatter rising up to slap me again. And again.
Chapter.
Oh, I got one of these deals.
Chapter 18.
Chapter 18.
Hey. that's really exciting.
Fa la 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 li, way down in the valley.
All right, good times. Chapter 18.
Stop, Chrissy! I screamed, stop! You're squashing me! With a strangled gasp, I toppled off the counter. I hit the floor hard and struggled dizzily to my feet. Now I started to get angry. Why did Chrissy have to be so bloodthirsty? Couldn't she just open a window and shoo me out? Buzzing weakly, I floated up off the floor. Regaining my strength, I began darting wildly around the room, crashing into walls and cupboards to show Chrissy how upset I was. Then I shot out of the kitchen. It says snot out of the kitchen. Like boogers. Gross. In a rage, I headed up the stairs to my room. If my sister wouldn't help me, I'd get someone else to help. Namely, the new Gary. The morning sun was high in the sky, but Gary, that's in quotes, was still sound asleep in my bed. Seeing him lying there so peacefully, so completely at home, made me even angrier. Wake up, you slug! I buzzed at him. He didn't move. His mouth hung open as he slept, making him look like a real jerk.
What the hell? I don't know what this word is supposed to be.
Tuck! What a creep! I was sure my mouth never hung open when I slept.
Oh, yuck. Yuck, what a creep. Sorry, it just says tuck.
I decided to take action. I landed on Gary's head and started walking around on his face. I was sure my little insect's legs would tickle him and wake him up. Nothing. He didn't move. Even when I was stuck a leg up his nose, Gary, that's in quotes again, slept without stirring. Why is he so wrecked?
But booze, like alcohol, like the stuff I drink constantly.
I wondered, has he been wearing out my body? Furious, I ran across Gary's.
I'm just going to assume that you know that Gary every time is in quotes now, all the way down the page. So Gary, every time when I emphasize it, it's in quotes.
Gary's face climbed down... Gary's face and climbed down through his hair. Then I crawled into his ear. Buzz! I shouted as loudly as I could. Buzz, buzz, buzz! Incredible as it seems, the new Gary didn't even budge. Just my luck. Dirk Davis was turning out to be the world's soundest sleeper. I sighed and gave up. I crawled off Gary's ear and flew around my old room, gazing down at my bed, my dresser, and my computadora. My computer! I cried excited. Maybe I can put a message on the screen. Maybe I can tell my parents, what's happened to me? I swooped down to the computer, buzzing eagerly. Yes, the computer has been left on. What luck! I knew I wasn't heavy enough to push the power button. Would I be strong enough to type? A clear blue screen greeted me on the monitor. My heart pounding, I lowered myself to the keyboard and started hopping around on the letters. Yes! I was heavy enough to make the keys go up and down. Hey, you probably couldn't make my 2 key go up and down because I spilled a white Russian on it and now it's all sticky and that's really annoying. So, yeah, you probably couldn't do that, you stupid bee. I paused, resting on the enter key. What should I type? What message should I put on the screen? What? As I frantically thought, I heard a Gary stir behind me on the bed. He let out a groan. He was waking up. Quick, I told myself, type something, type anything. He'll see it as soon as he gets out of bed. I hopped over to the letters and began to jump up and down, spelling out my desperate message. It was hard work. My B eyes weren't made for reading letters, and I kept leaping up and failing. And falling, it says failing, in the cracks between the keys.
After 8 or 9 jumps, I was gasping for air, but I finished my message just as Gary sat up in the bed, stretched, floated up in front of the monitor, and struggled to read what I had typed. I am not a bee. I am Gary. Hello, me. Really? That's what you could come up with?
Through my blurred vision, I saw that I missed the P in help.
Wow. And hit the O instead. I wanted to get back and fix it, but I was totally wiped out. I could barely buzz. Would they understand? Would they read the message and see me standing on the top of the monitor? Understand?
Gary would understand. I knew he would. Dirk Davis would figure it out. I climbed wearily to the top of the monitor and watched him climb out of the bed. Here he comes, I saw eagerly. He brushed his hair out of his eyes. He yawned and stretched again.
Over here, I urged.
Dirk, please, check out the computer monitor. Dirk, over here.
I picked up a crumpled pair of jeans off the floor and pulled them on. That's not what I did. That's what he did, the Gary in the quotes. Not I. I'm a bee.
Then he found a wrinkled t-shirt to go with it. Come on, Dirk, I pleaded, hopping up and down on top of the monitor. Read the screen, please.
Would he read it?
Yes. Rubbing his eyes, Gary shuffled over the computer. Yes, yes. I nearly burst for joy as I watched him squint at the screen. Go ahead, Gary, read it, I squeaked. He squinted at the screen some more, frowning.
Did I leave that thing on overnight? He muttered, shaking his head. Wow, I must be losing it.
He reached down and clicked off the power. Then he turned and made his way out of the room. Stunned, I toppled off the monitor, landing hard at the desk beside the keyboard. All that work for nothing. What was Gary's problem anyway? Doesn't he know how to read? I've got to talk to him, I told myself, pulling myself together. I've got to communicate with him somehow. I lifted my wings and floated up after him. I followed him through the kitchen and then slipped through the back door with him. As he strode across the grass, I started buzzing around his head, but he didn't pay any attention to me. He crossed the yard and opened our garage door. Then he went inside and brought out my old skateboard. I hadn't used that skateboard in at least 2 years. My uncle had given it to me for my 10th birthday, and I almost broke my leg trying to ride it. After that, I put it away and refused to touch it again. Don't get on that thing, I yelled. Gary, it's dangerous. You might hurt my body, and I want that back in one piece.
Of course, Gary didn't even notice. Instead, he carried the skateboard out in front of the house and put it down on the ground.
A short while later, Caitlin and Judy, walked up the sidewalk. I waited for them to start giggling and making fun of Numi.
Hi, Gary, Caitlin said. She brushed some curly hair off her forehead and smiled.
Are we late for our skateboarding lesson?
Gary flashed her a big smile.
No way, Caitlin, he answered in my voice. Want to head over to the playground like we did yesterday? I couldn't believe my ears. Skateboarding lesson, head over to the playground like we did yesterday. What is going on around here?
I hope you don't mind, Gary, Judy said. We'd sold some of the other kids, like Gail and Louie. How good you are. They all said they can't wait to take a lesson from you. Is that okay? Because if it isn't, I can call them and...
No prob, Jude, Gary broke in. Let's get going, okay?
The new me hopped onto his skateboard and smoothly rolled his way down the sidewalk. Judy and Caitlin hurried after him, moist. For a second, I was too shocked to move, but then I decided to follow them. As I swooped after them, I kept muttering to myself, I can't believe it. Lutz the Klutz is giving skateboarding lessons at the playground? Everybody's waiting for him to show up? What the fuck is going on? A few minutes later, the four of us had reached the playground. Sure enough, a whole gang of kids was waiting there for Gary. He put down his skateboard and started giving everyone pointers on boarding, as he called it.
Oh, wow. He doesn't say skate, you know? He just says boarding.
Pretty, pretty, pretty cool. I buzzed over to him and started shouting in his ear again. Dirk! I shouted, Dirk Davis, it's me, the real Gary Lutz. Very casually, he swatted me away. Oh, he even swats away B's cool. Oh, God, I'm so into this guy.
That was me doing, not that kid. I don't think he's into dudes. I'm not
gay! I tried to speak to him again. This time he swatted me really hard, sending me spinning to the ground. Trying to shake off the pain, I gave up. Dirk isn't going to help me, I realized. Miss Carmen is my only hope. After all, she was the one with all the equipment. She was the only person who could reverse what she had done. I flew onto a tree and tried to figure out which way to fly. When you're an insect, everything looks different to you. Things that seem small to a... small to a person appear huge to a bee, so I wanted to be sure I didn't get myself mixed up and fly off in the wrong direction. Standing on a big leaf, I gazed up and down the block until I was sure I knew which way to go. As I got ready to take off, a large shadow suddenly loomed over my head. At first, I thought it was a small bird, but then I realized it was a dragonfly.
There has to be an 80s metal band called Dragonfly, right?
Stay calm, I told myself. A dragonfly is an insect, isn't it? And insects don't eat each other, right?
I guess no one had told the dragonfly.
Before I could move, it zoomed down, wrapping its teeth around my middle and bit me in two.
Really? Wow, that took a strange turn.
Chapter 20. Chapter 20.
I uttered a last gasp and waited for everything to go dark. It took me a few seconds to realize that the dragonfly had turned and buzzed off in the other direction. My imagination was running away with me. That's what had happened. I just got overtired.
Really? This is getting out of hand with the misleading end of chapter sentence when you just say,
wrapped its teeth around my middle and bit me in two, and then the next one just starts with, wait, no, it didn't. That's cool.
Just kidding. You can't make movies like that. You can't, like, end The Fellowship of the Ring, and it's like, and then out of nowhere, Sam and Frodo die, and then, you know, Two Towers starts, and it's like, oh, wait, no, that's cool. No, they didn't. We just wanted to make an exciting ending.
That you don't do that. It's horrible storytelling. I took a deep breath, grateful to still be in one piece. I decided to use my own remaining strength to get Miss Carmen at the person-to-person vacations office. I rose up into the air, looking both ways for oncoming dragon fly traffic, and then fluttered away. After a long, tiring trip, I floated past a street sign that told me I'd made it to the right block, Roach Street. I buzzed along the sidewalk until I came to the person-to-person building. Then I sat down on the stoop and tried to figure out how I was going to get inside. Luckily, as I rested on the warm cement, I saw a mailman marching up the street, stopping at each house along its route. Quickly, I flew over to the person-to-person entrance and checked it out.
Check it out!
Just as I'd hoped, there was a male slot. In the middle of the door. I buzzed over to the doorknob and waited for my chance. Slowly, the mailman trudged up to the building. "Hurry up!" I screamed at him. "Do you think I have all day here?" Of course, he couldn't hear me. He fumbled around in his bag and pulled out a bundle of letters. Then, slowly, he reached out and pushed open the mail slot. Before the mailman had a chance to react, I swooped down from in front of his nose and buzzed right through the mail slot. As I zipped along, I heard him gasp. I knew he'd seen me, but for once, luck was with me. I moved so quickly, there hadn't been any time for the mailman to try and swat me. My luck held when I flew up the stairs. I just reached the top when the door to the person-to-person vacations opened, and a girl about my age came out. She had long, curly red hair and had a serious, thoughtful expression on her face. Was she thinking about trading places with someone? "Go home," I shouted at her, "and don't come back. Stay away from this place. Just look what happened to me." Even though I was screaming, the girl didn't even turn her head, but she left the door open just long enough for me to buzz into the person-to-person office. I flew across the waiting room and saw Miss Carmen sitting at the same chair she'd been in when I first met her. I shot right toward her and smacked into something hard. Pain shot roared through my body. I dropped to the floor, dizzy and confused. As my head began to clear, I remembered the glass wall separating Miss Carmen from the waiting area. Like some kind of brainless June bug, I'd crashed right into it. I shook myself to clear my mind. "Miss Carmen," I yelled. "Miss Carmen, it's me, Gary Lutz. Look what happened. Can you help me? Can you?" Miss Carmen didn't even glance up from her paperwork. Once again, I realized no one could hear my squeaky insect voice. With a defeating moan, I sank down into the seat of the chair and curled into a tiny ball. I'd come all this way for nothing, I realized. I found that the one person in the world who might be able to help me, and she couldn't even hear me. "I give up," I whispered sadly. "It's hopeless. I have to get used to the idea of being a bee forever. There's no way I'll get my old body back." I had never been so miserable in all my life. Well, you're not a teenager yet. It gets a lot worse. Oh, God. Every day is the worst day of my life. I wish someone would come along, drop into the chair, and sit on me. A strange sound startled me from my unhappy thoughts. I sat up straight and listened. Woo-ha! Woo-ha! It almost sounded like someone breathing or Busta Rhymes. But how could that be? It was so loud. I floated up off the chair and buzzed around the room, trying to find out where the sound was coming from. I circled the room twice before I figured it out. Miss Carmen was bending over to pick up something she dropped on the floor. Her nose and mouth were only inches from the top of the desk, and the microphone she used to talk to people had picked up the sounds of her breathing. Suddenly, I had a brilliant idea. Yeah, we all had it too, Gary. Okay, obviously, you used the microphone. We all thought of that. If I could get to the other side of the glass, I could use the microphone to make Miss Carmen hear me. I swooped over the glass wall and flew straight up the ceiling. No luck there. The sheet of glass went all the way up. There was no space for me to wedge myself through to the other side. I buzzed down to the place where the glass met the top of Miss Carmen's desk. Yes, there was a small slot in the glass. I remember how she'd passed through the book of photographs on my first visit to the office. The slot wasn't very large, but it was plenty big enough for my round little bee body. I shot through the hole and jumped up on top of the microphone. "Miss Carmen!" I shouted, putting my mouth next to the hard metal. "Miss Carmen!" Her eyes opened wide, her mouth dropped open in confusion. She stared out into the waiting room, searching for the person speaking. "It's Gary Lutz!" I called out, "and I'm down here on the microphone!" Miss Carmen stared at the microphone, then her eyes narrowed in fear. "What's going on? Who's doing this? Is this a joke?" "No!" I cried. "It's no joke at all! It's really me! Gary Lutz! But... She stammered, but no other words came out. "What's the joke? How are you doing that?" Her voice was so loud, the sound waves nearly blasted me off the microphone. "You don't have to yell," I cried. "I can hear you." "I don't believe this," she exclaimed in a trembling voice. She stared down at me. "It's all your fault." I would not get aggressive when someone could smash me that quickly. I would be very nice, and I would work with them, and I would try to get, you know, what I needed done. I shouted angrily, "You messed up the transfer operation when you made the switch. One of my neighbor's bees must
must have been gotten into the machine. So instead of putting me into Dirk Davis's body, you put me into a bee. Miss Carmen blinked. Then she slapped her forehead.
Well, that explains it, she cried.
That explains why Dirk Davis's body has been behaving so strangely. She picked up some papers on her desk and started putting them into her briefcase.
I really must apologize, she said.
I feel really bad, Gary. We never had a mix-up like this before.
I hope it's been at least interesting for you.
Interesting? I shrieked. It's been a nightmare. You wouldn't believe what I've been through. I've been attacked by screen doors, cats, fly swatters, you name it. You yourself almost ran me over with your car.
All the color drained from her face.
Oh no, she cried, her voice a whisper. I'm so sorry, I didn't know.
Well, what about it? I asked her impatiently.
What about what? What about getting me back into my body? Can you do it right away?
Miss Carmen cleared a throat. I don't know. I got yoga and shit. This isn't a good day for me. You know, I'm out on my period, to be honest. So, can you just wait, like, 4 days, and then we'll get this all straightened out?
Well, I could, she replied slowly. Normally, I could transfer you right back, but there's a slight problem in your case.
What kind of problem?
It's Dirk Davis, Miss Carmen replied. It seems he's become very attached to your old body. He likes your house and your parents, too. In fact, he likes your sister, Chrissy.
So? I cried. So what's that supposed to mean?
Miss Carmen stood up and pushed in her desk chair. It means, she said, that Dirk Davis is refusing to give up your old body. He says he absolutely won't go back to his old life. He plans to keep your body forever.
It seems like there'd be some sort of system in place so that things like this couldn't happen, you know, since that's their business, you know, it's their business model. Also, I'd like to check out the Better Business Bureau website for him, you know, because...
Chapter 22. What? I screamed, hopping up and down angrily on the microphone.
Just what I said, Miss Carmen said. I like how, like, this whole conversation has been like 15 seconds so far when she's like, all right, I accept that I'm talking to a bee and now I'm reasoning with the bee and explaining that the bee can't have his way.
Dirk Davis wants to keep your body for the rest of his life, but he can't do that, can he?
It's very upsetting, she replied, biting her lower lip.
It wasn't what he said in our original agreement, but he refused to get out of your body and your life. There's really nothing I can do.
Miss Carmen gazed down at me sympathetically.
I'm sorry about this, Gary, she said softly. I guess I'll have to be more careful in the future.
What about my future? What am I supposed to do now? I wailed.
Miss Carmen shrugged. Maybe you could go back, you know. You could go back to the hive, you know, and then you can just wait there and, like, chill out for a little bit, get a job, you know, meet a nice bee lady, have some kids, and maybe Dirk Davis will change his mind.
Back to the hive?
My antennas stood straight on end, quivering with rage. Do you have any idea what it's like in there? Cramped together with those hairy bees in the darkness, listening to that deafening buzz day and night. Wub-wub-wub-dew.
That was my dubstep impression.
It's a way of staying alive, Miss Carmen replied bluntly.
I don't care, I stammered. I'm never going back there, never.
This is tragic. Tragic, Miss Carmen cried. I'll give your case some thought tonight, Gary. I promise. Maybe I can come up with a way of getting your body away from Dirk. She crossed the room and opened the office door. I'm so upset, she murmured. Then she disappeared out the door, slamming it behind her. Trembling with anger at Dirk Davis, I hopped down to the desk.
Hey, wait, I called after her. You've locked me in.
Miss Carmen was so upset she forgot about me.
What? This is ridiculous.
I rose up into the air and started after her, but then I happened to glance back down at her desk. Dirk Davis's questionnaire was right on top of the pile of papers. His address was next to his name. He lived at 203 Eastwood Avenue. Eastwood Avenue was near the computer store, so I knew where it was. Maybe the old Dirk Davis will know how to get my body back. I told myself it was worth a try. I ducked through the slot in the glass and flew around the waiting room. No exit. No open window, no crack in the door. Once again, I was trapped. There's no mailman conveniently going there within 10 seconds of you originally showing up, like the first time R.L. Stein. Frantically, I buzzed all around the waiting room. Then I went back through the slot in the glass. I checked out the whole equipment room. Every window was closed tight.
I flew past the calendar and happened to see the date. "Oh no!" I cried. "It's Friday! It's the weekend! Miss Carmen might not come back to work for 2 whole days. In 2 days, I realized I would starve to death. I had to get out. I went through the far wall and noticed another door I hadn't seen before. This is lazy, lazy writing. I zipped through it. The room turned out to be a tiny bathroom with one small window which just opened a crack. It was all I need. "Hooray!" I yelled. I shot through the window and sailed into the open air. Then I turned right and headed for Eastwood Avenue. Luckily, it wasn't very far away. All this flying around was really beginning to wear me out. I found Dirk Davis's house without any trouble. When I got there, I saw Dirk. Now, Dirk is indicated with quote, again, so I'm not gonna point it out. I'm just gonna seamlessly go past it, and as the listener, you won't know what's going on, but it's gonna be incredible. I saw Dirk himself, or whoever he was now, standing in the front yard. I recognized him from the picture I'd seen in the person-to-person album. "Hey!" I yelled to him. "Hey, Dirk!" The tall, good-looking boy turned around and stared at me. His mouth moved, and it looked as if he was saying something, but I couldn't understand any words. All I heard was a humming sound. "I'm Gary Lutz!" I cried in my little voice. Help me get Dirk Davis out of my body. The boy stared at me. Then he grinned. I was confused. What was he grinning about? "Hey, you can hear me," I cried. Now Dirk motioned with his hand. "You want me to follow you?" I asked. I felt excited. "Are you taking me someplace where we can get help?" Dirk grinned again. Then he turned and walked around the corner of the house. I didn't know where we were going, but I knew I had to follow him. I found Dirk in the backyard. "Hmm," he said to me. "Hmm." He pointed to a big rose bush and grinned. Then he stuck his nose deep inside one of the blossoms. "Hmm," he said. "Yum." I gaped at him in shock. "Of course," I cried. "You got the bee's mind when I got the bee's body." Dirk didn't say anything, but then he pulled his face out of the rose. The end of his nose was covered in yellow pollen. Dirk looked a little surprised and disappointed. I guess he missed his long, sucking tongue, the tongue that was now hanging off the front of my face. "You can't help me," I muttered to him. "You're in worse shape than I am." "Hum?" he replied. "Hum?" He looked kind of silly with that yellow nose, but I felt sorry for him. He and I had the wrong brains and the wrong bodies. I knew exactly how he felt. "I'm gonna get help for both of us," I told him. "If I get my body back, maybe you'll get yours too." With a loud buzz, I flew out of the Davis's yard. As I left, I thought I heard Dirk buzz back at me. I glanced over my wing and saw him sticking his face into another rose. Maybe this time he'd have better luck getting the pollen out. I headed toward my own house. This time, I planned to make Dirk Davis give me my body back, or else. As I turned up the street, I suddenly heard a familiar voice coming from behind a tree. "Don't mess with me! Don't mess with me, man!" I couldn't believe it. The voice belonged to Marv. But who was he talking to? I shot around the tree to find out. To my surprise, I saw that Marv was talking to me, or Dirk Davis, in my body. Barry and Carl were right beside him. "Look out, Dirk," I thought. "Run! Run! Please don't let them wreck my body," but it was too late. Barry, Marv, and Carl were closing in on him, about to give him the pounding of his life. I flew closer. "Look out, Dirk! Look the fuck out!" I squeaked, but to my surprise, the three hulking creeps weren't moving in on Gary. They were backing away from him. How do you misinterpret things so greatly all the time? "Don't mess with me," Marv cried. "I said I'm sorry." "We apologized," Barry whined. "Don't hit us again, Gary, please." Carl whimpered behind him, nursing a bloody nose. "You guys are losers," I heard Gary tell them. "Take a hike. Go get a life." God, this kid's cool as shit. "Okay, okay," Marv cried. "Just no more rough stuff, okay, Gary?" Gary shook his head and walked away. "I don't believe this," I thought gleefully. Barry, Marv, and Carl were afraid of me. I decided I'd have some fun with them, too. I swooped down and landed on Barry's nose, buzzing as loudly and menacingly as I could. "Yow!" he shrieked in surprise and swatted himself on the nose. I was too fast for him. I was already in Earl's ear. Carl cried out and toppled back onto a thorny rose
rose bush. Then I buzzed round and around Marv. "Get away!" he shouted angrily, and I flew right in his mouth. His scream nearly deafened me, but it was worth it. Marv started spitting and choking and gagging. I flew up in the air, laughing so hard I nearly popped my antennas. Huh? That was the most fun I'd had since becoming a bee. I watched the three gorillas run away. Then I flew up the block onto my house. Gary had left the window open, and I was able to shoot in. He was lying on my bed reading one of my comic books and eating crackers with honey on them. The honey smelled really good, and I realized I was hungry again. I reminded myself to stop by a flower and get a snack the next time I went outside. But meanwhile, I got work to do. I flew over and landed on Gary's earlobe. "Hey, you, Dirk Davis," I yelled at the top of my little voice. "I need to talk to you." He reached a hand up and flicked me off his face. I fell down and landed with a buzz on the bed. I buzzed angrily and shot back up to his earlobe. "Hey, you, I want my body back. You have to get the fuck out of it. Now." Gary folded up his comic book and swung it at me. I buzzed with rage and frustration. I wasn't going to give up this time. No way. I had to make him hear me. I rocketed up in the air and landed on top of his head. Then I climbed down to his other earlobe and tried one more time. "I'm not leaving you alone until you get out of my body," I screeched. "Do you hear me?" He sighed and shrugged his shoulders. "Will you please quit bothering me?" he asked. "Can't you see I'm trying to chillax?" It said relax, but I swapped it out for chillax, because new Gary's rad as shit. "You can hear me?" "Yeah, sure," he muttered. "I can hear you okay." "You can?" I was surprised. I almost fell off his ear. "Yeah, I can hear you perfectly. Weird, huh? I'm not sure why, but I think some bee cells got mixed up with my human cells during our electric transfer. I can hear all kinds of little bug noises now." "Your human cells? Those are my human cells," I cried. Dirk shrugged. "Enough chit-chat," I told him. "When do you plan to get out of my body?" "Never," he replied. He picked up his comic book and started reading it again. "I like your body. I can't understand why you gave it up to be a bee." "That wasn't my idea," I screamed. "You've got a good life here," he continued. "I mean, you have great parents. Chrissy is an okay sister, and Klaus is an awesome cat. Too bad you didn't know all that when you were in your body, which is now my body."
I feel like I'm learning a moral here. You should appreciate the things that you have. This is very, very subtle, you know? Not heavy-handed with it, R.L.
"It's not your body, it's mine. Give it back." I started to buzz furiously all around his head, swooping down in front of his nose, crashing into his ears, batting my wings in his eyes. Dirk Davis didn't even flinch. "What's the matter with you anyway?" I yelled. "You're me now. You're supposed to be scared of bees." Gary laughed. "You're forgetting something," he said. "I'm not you. I'm just inside your body." "I'm still me inside, and I'm not the least bit afraid of bees." "And now," he went on, "take a hike, okay? Buzz off. I'm busy." He must be getting 10 puns from Mr. Andretti, am I right? I'm right.
Frozen with anger and disappointment, I slumped on the bedspread without moving. Gary raised the comic book into the air. "I'd hate to swat you," he said, "but I will if I have to." I dodged away just as the comic book slapped down on the bedspread. Then I shot back out the window. For a few minutes, I flew aimlessly around, lost in my sad thoughts. Finally, I remembered how hungry I was. I perched on top of a big orange lily blossom and started sucking up some nectar. "Not bad," I told myself as I drank. "Tastes like Surge."
I added that because I miss Surge.
"But honey on crackers would be much better. What am I supposed to do now?" I asked myself. "Am I really doomed to be a bee for the rest of my life?" I pulled my head out of the orange blossom and looked around. "And how long is the rest of my life anyway?" I remembered a page from the Big Book of Bees. "The life of the average bee is not very long. While the queen can live through many as 5 winters, the workers and drones die off in the fall."
In the fall? It was already nearly August. If I stayed in this bee body, I only had a month or two at most. I gazed sadly up at my house. Gary had turned the light on in my room, and it twinkled in the early evening dusk. How I wished I could be up there. Why? Why had I ever been stupid enough to think I'd be better off in someone else's body? Then I heard a buzz. I peered over the blossom. Sure enough, I saw a bee. He hopped onto the flower. The 2 other bees quickly joined him. Then 3 more. They buzzed angrily. "Go away,"
I cried. I tried to fly away, but before I could lift off, they all swarmed over me. I couldn't move. The bees had taken me prisoner. Don't take me back to the hive, I shrieked. Don't take me back. But to my horror, they started to drag me away. All right. Need a second wind. I think this is the final super long chapter. Chapter 24 is the final super long chapter. I struggled to squirm away, but they turned their stingers on me. Were they some kind of bee police? Did they know I was trying to escape the hive? I didn't have a chance to discuss it with them. They lifted me into the air. There were bees in front of me, bees behind me, and bees on all sides. Bee gang bang! We flew past my bedroom window. Help! I called. Gary glanced up from his plate of crackers and honey. He smiled and waved at me. I was so angry, I thought I might explode! But then an idea came to me, a crazy idea and a desperate idea. I buzzed as loudly as I could. Then I darted out of line and shot into the open bedroom window. Were the others following me? Were they? Yes! They didn't want me to escape. Gary sat up when he saw me buzzing and my buzzing followers. He rolled up his comic book, preparing to swat us. Take this copy of Spawn! I circled the room and the other bees followed. Get out! Get out! Gary screamed. There weren't enough of us, I decided. I needed a huge swarm. I flew back out the window. The others buzzed after me. Now I was the head bee. As fast as I could, I led my group back to Mr. Andretti's garage and in through the hole in the screen. I hesitated at the hive entrance. I took a deep breath. Was I really going to go back inside? I knew I had no choice. Go for it, Lutz! I shouted to myself like a weirdo. I shouldn't judge someone that's currently in a bee body. I shot in through the entrance hole. Then I began flying crazily through the hive, buzzing angrily, bumping the walls, bumping the other bees. The hive stirred to life. The buzzing grew to a dull roar, then a loud roar, then a deafening roar. Excellent use. Of adjectives, sorry. Round and round I raged, flying faster, faster, throwing myself frantically against the sticky hive walls, tumbling, darting, buzzing furiously. The entire hive was in an uproar now. I had turned the bees into an angry swarm. Out of the hive I flew, out in the darkening evening, out through the hole in the screen, up, up and away! And the bees swarmed after me like a black cloud against the gray blue sky. Up we soared, up, up, a buzzing, swarming funnel cloud, up, up! I led them to the bedroom window, which Gary apparently didn't. He didn't lock and shut like a rational human being. Tumbling over each other, raging through the air, we swarmed into Gary's room. Huh? He jumped up off the bed. He didn't have time to say a word. I landed in his hair. The raging swarm followed, buzzing angrily, surrounded him, covering his head, his face, his shoulders. Help! His weak cry was drowned out by the roar of the bees. Help me! I dropped down on top of Gary's nose. Have you had enough? I demanded. Are you ready to give me back my body? Never! He cried. I don't care what you do to me. You'll never get your body back. It's mine and I'm keeping it forever. Wow, what horrible, horrible abuse was Dirk Davis going through that he refuses to go back to his body after all this. This is really depressing. I'd like to get his side of the story. Whoa! I could not believe my ears. I mean, he was covered in bees, and still he wouldn't listen to reason. I don't know what to do. The other bees were starting to lose interest. Some of them drifted to the plate of honey. Most of them floated back out the open window. You can't get away with this, Dirk, I screamed. With a furious wail, I whirled around. Then I stabbed my razor-sharp stinger deep in the side of Gary's nose. Ow! He let out a high-pitched shriek and grabbed his nose. Then he staggered backward and fell onto the bed. Yay! I cried out in celebration. For one instant, I felt triumphant, most triumphant, Bill. A tiny bee had defeated a huge army. I was victorious. I had won a fight against a giant. My celebration didn't last very long. I suddenly realized what I had done, and I remembered what happens to a bee after it stings someone. I'm going to die, I murmured weakly. I stung someone, and now I'm going to die. Wow, this is like the end of Deathly Hallows, but like not well written and not interesting and horrible. Actually, I really, really feel bad for relating this to Harry Potter. I'm sorry. I love you, Harry.
Weaker. I felt the strength drain from me. Weaker. And weaker, what have I done? I asked myself. I gave up my life for the chance to sting Dirk Davis. Why was I such a jerk? I struggled to keep my wings moving, struggled to stay in the air. I knew I was doomed, but I wanted to stay alive as long as I could. Maybe, I thought, as I felt my strength fading, maybe I'd had a chance to tell my family goodbye. Mom, Dad, Chrissy, I buzzed faintly. Where are you? It was hard to breathe. I felt so tired, so weak. I floated out of the window and sank to the grass below. I thought I recognized the shape of the old maple tree where I used to read books and spy on Mr. Andretti, but my sight was so bad. It was so hard to be sure of anything. The whole world swirled in gray shadow. I could no longer hold up my head. The gray shadows grew darker and darker until the world faded completely from view. I sat up slowly. The ground spun beneath me. Where was I? My backyard? I blinked, struggling to bring it all into focus, waiting for my eyes to clear. There's the old maple tree, I cried. And there's my house. And there's Mr. Andretti's house. Was I alive? Was I really alive? Sitting in my backyard, seeing all the familiar places. Did I have my strength back? I decided to test it. I tried to spread my wings and fly up in the air, but for some reason my wings didn't seem to be working. My body felt heavy and strange. I frowned and looked down, inspecting myself to see what was wrong. Whoa! I cried out in surprise. Instead of six legs, I saw two arms and two legs and my skinny old body. Breathlessly, I reached up to touch my face. My extra eyes were gone, and so were my antennas, and my layer of feathery fuzz. Instead, I felt hair and smooth human skin. Oh, this is bullshit. I jumped up and shouted for joy. I'm a person again. I'm me. I threw my arms around my chest and gave myself a hug. Then I danced around the backyard, testing my arms and legs. They worked. They all worked. I couldn't get over how wonderful it was to be a human again. But how did it happen? I asked myself. What happened to Dirk Davis? For a chilly instant, I wondered if Dirk had been forced into a bee's body the way I had. Probably not, I decided. But what had happened? How did I get my body back? Was it the bee sting? Did the shock of the sting send us all back to the bodies we belonged in? I've got to call Miss Carmen and find out, I realized. But for now, all I wanted to do was see my family. I hurried up the back steps into the house. As I ran through the kitchen, I crashed right into Chrissy. As usual, she was carrying Klaus under one arm. Watch where you're going, Chrissy snapped at me. She probably expected me to snap back at her and try to push her out of the way. But instead, I grabbed her shoulders and gave her a big hug. Then I planted a kiss right on her cheek. Yuck! Gross! She cried and wiped the cheek with her hand. I laughed happily. Don't give me your cooties, creep, Chrissy cried. You're a creep, I replied. No, you're a creep, she repeated. You're a jerk, I shouted. This is rude. It felt so good to be calling her names again. I gleefully called her a few more things. Then I hurried upstairs to see my parents. I met them as they were coming out of my room. Mom, Dad, I cried. I hurried to them, planning to throw my arms around them, but they thought I was just trying to get into my room. Don't go in there, Gary, warned my dad. You left your window open again, and a swarm of bees got in there. You'd better go next door, Mom said. Get Mr. Andretti. He'll know how to get them out. I couldn't hold back any longer. I threw my arms around my mother's neck and gave her a big kiss. Mom, I missed you so much. My mother hugged me back, but I saw her exchange a curious look with Dad. Gary, she asked, are you okay? Have you been huffing copier toner again? Oh, that's a Corolla reference. How could you miss me when you've been right here in the house? Well, I thought fast. I meant that I miss spending time with you. We really need to do more things together. My mom spread one hand over my forehead. No temperature, she told my father. Gary, Dad said impatiently, would you mind running over and getting Mr. Andretti? If we don't get those bees out of your room, you'll never be able to sleep tonight. Bees, I said casually. Hey, no problem. I'll take care of them. I reached out and started to open my door. Before I could, Dad grabbed my arm. Gary, he cried in alarm. What's the matter with you? The bees are in your room. B-E-E-S. Don't you remember? You're scared of bees. I stared back at him through what thought about what he said. To my surprise, I realized I was no longer the slightest bit scared of bees. In fact, I was actually looking forward to seeing them again. No prob, Dad, I told him. I guess I must have outgrown that, or something. I opened the door and went in my room. Sure enough, there was the old swarm, buzzing away over the plate of honey and crackers in my bed. Hi, guys, I said cheerfully. Time to leave now. I walked over to the bed and waved my hands at them, trying to shoo them back out the window. A few of them buzzed angrily at me. I laughed to myself. Oh, you guys. Then I picked up the plate of crackers and honey and dumped it out the window. Go on, get on out of here, I told them. I shooed them gently out the window. Goodbye, I called to them as they left. Thanks, take good care of the honeycombs. I'll try to come visit as soon as I can. When the last bee was gone, I turned around and saw my parents. They were standing absolutely motionless in the doorway, staring at me, frozen with shock. Dad? I said. Mom? My dad blinked and seemed to come back to life. He crossed the room and put a hand on my shoulder. Gary, are you feeling all right? Just fine, I replied, grinning happily. Just fine. That whole crazy adventure happened about a month ago. Now it's nearly fall. I'm sitting in my favorite place under the maple tree in the backyard, reading a book and chomping down taco chips. I just love coming out here. All the fall flowering plants are in bloom and the yard is really pretty. I've been spending the last few days of my summer vacation relaxing back here. Of course, I also go to the playground a lot. The other day I ran into that girl with the red hair I saw coming out of the person-to-person office. We started talking and I didn't trip over my own feet or anything. She seems really nice. I hope she doesn't plan to switch lives with anybody else. That conversations and a lot of things have made me realize that my short life as a bee really changed me. First of all, it taught me to appreciate my family for the first time ever. My parents are pretty nice, and my sister is okay. For a sister. And now, I'm not scared of any of the things I used to be scared of. Yesterday, I walked right by Marv, Barry, and Carl and didn't bat an eye. In fact, when I remembered how I buzzed them, I almost burst out laughing. I'm not at all scared of them anymore. And I'm different in other ways, too. I'm a lot better at sports, and bike riding, and things, and I'm a great skateboarder now. In fact, I still give lessons. Judy and Caitlin hang around me all the time, and Gail and Louie, too. The other day, I actually ran into Dirk Davis at the playground. At first, I didn't want to talk to him. But then, he turned out to be pretty nice. Wait, he literally did not care if you died. Like, he was just fine with it. He was literally going to kill you. He apologized to me. Hey, I'm sorry I tried to steal your body and murder you with a copy of Spawn, he said. But things didn't turn out well for me either. That bee flunked all my math tests in summer school. Oh, no! We both had a good laugh about that. That kid tried to kill you, Gary. He tried to murder you to death. And now Dirk and I are friends. He tried to kill you. So all in all, my life is back to normal. I feel terrific, totally normal. In fact, I feel much better than normal. It's great to sit here in the backyard reading and relaxing, smelling the fresh fall air, enjoying the flowers. Those hollyhocks are really awesome. Excuse me a moment while I get up and take a closer look. The blossom down near the ground is perfect. I think I'll go down on my knees to take a quick taste. Do you know how to suck the pollen out? I figured out the best way. It's not as hard as it looks. You just pucker your lips and stick your tongue out like this, see? Then you dip your face in the blossom and suck up all the pollen you want. Try it. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's easy. Really. The end. What the fuck was that? That was horrible. That was maybe the worst That was definitely the worst Goosebumps I've read so far, but the writing was, like, lazy and didn't make sense. It was full of plot holes. And then they just learned a lesson, and he learned to appreciate things, and he completely forgave. Like, what the fuck did I just read? This is not swaying me to come back to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I have a lot of ideas for other podcasts. Maybe I want to do one that's, like, a weekly recap of the top posts on Reddit or something like that. I don't honestly know yet, but I'll try to keep these coming. There's already a Give Yourself Goosebumps coming out. Maybe I'll try to do one this week. I don't know. But until then, I'm glad I'm back. I hope you guys appreciated it. And stay spooky, bitches.